9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Women's Wrestling Talk, the number one women's wrestling network on the planet.
Well, TGIF, everybody, happy Friday, happy Valentine's Day, happy Love Day, and welcome to WWT Live as part of Women's Wrestling Talk, the number one women's wrestling network on the planet. I am your professor. They call me GB, Gerard Bonner, all of the things. We apologize for our tardiness, but we're here. And so we're here, and there's plenty to discuss. I mean, it is the Love Day, and if you love wrestling, we have a lot to talk about because there's a lot of wrestling happening this weekend, including tonight. And I am not alone. I've got the good mayor with me. Mayor Sett is in the building. How are you, Mayor?
It's a good Friday. I can't complain. I mean, we got some clear skies here in California. It was pretty bad with the rain yesterday. I know we're in the middle of a storm, but you know what? Hopefully the onset of a clear weekend out here.
That would be awfully nice for sure if we had a clear weekend, certainly in Cali. Now, how impact? I haven't had a chance to really talk to you with all of the wildfires and all the things that were going on out there. How in any way were you impacted?
So I live about probably more than an hour away from that area. So I was good.
Oh, okay. Okay,
good. I did have some family affected. I did post a GoFundMe from a show here maybe a few weeks back. Okay. Cousin did lose her home to the Eden fire. So
Oh wow. It
did affect some people that I was close to. So thankfully now everything's 100% contained. And I think the worst thing we're dealing with now out here, it seems like there's been no normal months in California in a very long time.
Yeah,
I think it was just a few weeks ago we were dealing with the fires, but also very aggressive winds that affected me directly. The windstorm. And now we have, I guess, the effects of rain yesterday. Pretty bad rainstorm, but that's mostly LA County that's affected, and I'm outside of that county.
Got you. Okay, well, I'm glad that at least you're safe, and certainly my thoughts are with your family members, and I hope that people are recovering quickly out there, and hopefully, you know, if there's anyone on the West Coast that's watching, hopefully this can be a pleasant distraction for you as we delve into all that's happening in the world of pro wrestling. Let's see. Jasmine's here. Good to see you. Eric's here. Good to see you. Real Talk T, brand new member. We're glad to have you. And welcome. So if indeed there are others that are out here, feel free to share. I know it's had a bit of a late start, but let the people know we are definitely in here. We're having great conversation. So we'll dive right in. We know SmackDown is still starting at 8 p.m. Eastern, but we're going to start this show off with, I think, probably the best news to drop in the last 48 hours. That is the news about Chris Bey. So for those, who are unfamiliar, Chris Bey, a great wrestler in TNA, had been involved in a great pay-per-view. And the night after they were doing a taping in Detroit, it was Chris Bey and Ace Austin against the Hardys. And a horrific accident took place there in the ring, and it caused Chris Bey to be paralyzed. TNA was very discreet about the details surrounding this, but all we knew, it was a terrible accident that happened to Chris Bey, and no one knew if Chris Bey would ever wrestle again or even walk again. It's been that series. There's been a lot of GoFundMes being done, a lot of dedications being done. And yesterday was Chris Bey's birthday. And Chris Bey posted for the first time since this accident, and his post was not quite like Aaliyah with a 4-page letter, but it was a 3-page letter, and it was accompanied by a video of him standing up and walking. It's the first time we've seen that. And in this letter he posted, he talked about really what the prognosis was for him. He talked about what it felt like, where he thought he was going to get up and perform a move, and then he could not get up. His body could not move. He talked about how he felt ashamed because he couldn't finish the match, which just shows you where wrestlers are thinking. He was thankful for all that TNA had done to help him, because he felt like had TNA not responded as quickly as he did, he might not be alive. He was told that there would be maybe a 15% chance of him to be able to walk again. He also talked about the fact that we've not heard from him because he was paralyzed in his hands and his fingers, and he could not respond. And so while he says he's not fully sure if he'll be able to wrestle again, he has been able to walk again for the last 3 weeks. Man, what were your thoughts on seeing this video and hearing all of this news from Chris Bay himself?
Beautiful. Just beautiful to see that, like, from what we saw and how it looked on the outside looking in, it's just an amazing update. Like, the prayers just shows you that all the outreach shows you that God is real. That it's just amazing to see him taking steps.
Yeah.
Like, just to see those steps, that was powerful to see.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure, like, while the journey is still long, just getting over that hurdle to be able to walk on your own, not use crutches, things like that, mm-hmm. that has to feel so liberating for him. So it was just beautiful to see.
Yeah, it was a beautiful moment. And in an often polarizing wrestling world, it was one of the few things that seemingly everybody was united on. Everybody was just excited, and many tears, many well wishes, many kind words for Chris Bay. And again, you know, it's even more significant when you understand the severity of what happened. He talked about how he had to have emergency surgery for his C6 and C7 to be fused so he could, you know, at least live, basically. And again, he spent 50 days in rehab, and the prognosis was not good for him. So major shout out to Chris Bay, to all of the doctors that were involved. And I think, or at least I hope, in the wrestling world, people won't put the cart before the horse. You know, I'm not looking for him to wrestle again, at least not an expectation at this point. I am glad that he is alive, that he is mobile. It was such a powerful visual to see him sit up and stand up from that chair and walk with no assistance. That was just absolutely remarkable. If you guys haven't seen it, check it out on all of his socials, Instagram and Twitter for sure.
If anything, I hope there's contingencies in place with TNA or even the partnership with the TKO group that would make sure that he never has to work another day in his life.
Agreed. I totally agree. I mean, that is one of the challenges about when you give your life in your body to this business. There should be things in place that for these kinds of accidents, that something can happen for him. And I mean, you know, if they have to find a reason to justify paying him, let him be an analyst, much like you're doing with Big E at this point, you know, where he can contribute his voice or his expertise to something. But certainly whatever this man needs, he should be able to get. For all that he has given to TNA and to pro wrestling as a whole. So again, our thoughts and prayers continue to be with Chris Bay. So exciting. Just, oh man, incredible to see. And this is great news. Again, hearing from wrestlers from all over the wrestling world made something like this extremely, extremely special. Shout out to others joining us in the chat. Eric, good to see you. Cousin Ron, always a pleasure. Jeffrey, good to see you as well. Benjamin, welcome aboard. I don't recall seeing you before, so good to see you. Boza, good to see you. Special Little Nobodies, always a pleasure. Junk Punch Hero, love that name. Yeah, you know, I will say this. It was definitely a serious injury. And, you know, I think sometimes people think that because we're seeing quick recovery, that it negates the severity of the injury. It does not. It really actually showcases two things. I think the incredible power of the human spirit of Chris Bay, and of course the power of God and his ability to allow miracles to happen to the best of us. So I'm really excited for Chris Bay and all that's happening for him. And, you know, we will certainly We've learned this. We have enough empirical evidence in the world of wrestling where you never say never. You know, you've got Edge, you've got you've got Cope, you've got Bryan Danielson, you've got Katsuyori Shibata, who, you know, pretty much was at a space where we never thought he would wrestle again, and we weren't sure if he would live again. And now, again, he is wrestling in AEW of all places. So shout out to Chris Bay. Again, a great story to kick off today's episode of WWT Live. Another interesting story today on ESPN. Michelle McCool and The Undertaker were being interviewed. They were interrupted by Triple H, and Triple H informed the world that much as he was surprised, unbeknownst to him, by The Undertaker and Shawn Michaels, he took this moment to surprise Michelle McCool and announced that she will be going into the WWE Hall of Fame class of 2025. Now, Michelle McCool was involved, I think, in an interesting era of women's wrestling, certainly part of the Divas era, right before we got to the space that was known as the Women's Evolution. She is a winner of the Diva Search competition and now is in this space of going into the Hall of Fame. What are your thoughts on Michelle McCool being inducted into the Hall of Fame?
Well deserved. And now I think maybe they probably knew about this for a while, because I actually thought she would have her annual Rumble spot, which we didn't see her in the Rumble this year. So I think it's well deserved to kind of reintroduce fans who might not be familiar, because we've been in this women's evolution space where you might as well call it the golden age of women's wrestling for so long. Right. People forget how good Michelle McCool was. So I hope this is the beginning of not just putting her in the Hall of Fame, but running back some of her catalog, showing more vignettes and different promo work, different matches, so you can show fans that that Divas era had some gold there. A lot of it spearheaded by Michelle McCool.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because the Divas era was so polarizing. And I say polarizing because on one hand, you had women who may not have had the level of skill that, you know, wrestlers have today. And then you had those who did, but were being held back by the way those in the back thought women's wrestling should be presented. So that's where, again, Michelle McCool sticks out, because she was kind of the best of both worlds. She picked up the wrestling portion well. She did enough to be recognized as a diva, but also to be recognized and taken seriously as a wrestler. So I think it is very interesting. And I don't know that Michelle McCool's name is necessarily mentioned enough when people talk about the women's wrestlers that are responsible for the change in direction and change in presentation of women's wrestling. So congratulations to Michelle McCool, former women's champion, who is now going to take her place in the Hall of Fame. And I actually really like this. Normally, at least in times past, in previous years, whoever the women's inductee was, it would take a little bit longer for us to find out who that would be. But to find out her after Triple H, I think is really significant. I think it's really telling.
I like the way they did it too.
Yes.
That's the cool thing about, I guess, being in this TKO space and having more media outlets and sports outlets pick up the WWE. I think that was a really cool way to do it.
Yeah. I agree with that. I think one of the things that WWE is really doing is they are finding non-traditional ways to make these announcements. You know, usually that we would get those announcements on an episode of Raw, you know, and so what's cool is to surprise these wrestlers in outlets where you don't expect this to happen. You know, you
hit it on the head right there, because that's exactly what we see the NFL do. They take the camera crew, and then you show up at somebody's house, you have them knock on the door, and it's like, oh man, I didn't expect to see you today. And it's like, you give them the envelope, and it's like, you're part of Gold Jacket Club. Like, there's all this like celebratory act of just, hey, we're welcoming you into this, like, this club. I think that's what we'll see for years to come now. I think they're trying to put their own spin on it.
Yeah, and I think it's brilliant. I mean, again, the element of surprise is always where you get the most authentic reaction. You know, we saw that earlier this week with the presentation of Ricky Starks on WWE television. Nobody saw it coming. So when it happened, people went, wow, you know, to see it happen to Triple H at a board meeting, you know, at a town hall meeting where he did not expect that at all. And he's usually in charge of that. So, you know, when you go back and watch that video and see his facial expressions like, why is Sean's music playing? And, okay, what are y'all doing here? And mm-hmm. y'all didn't tell me this on the run sheet, you know?
I hope we get like a very authentic one, like how we used to kind of look behind the curtain with WWE ride along for the people traveling by vehicles, like state to state.
Yes.
And you just get somebody that's driving with their riding buddy and maybe they go to a celebratory party of like, yeah. hey, you're in the Hall of Fame. Like, for somebody like R-Truth, that would be cool to do that too.
Right, right, right. I think it's going to be very interesting to see how they will go about doing this because now we can see they're being very creative. And I like that. And it can, on one hand, keep people on their toes. But how are you staying on your toes? You know, are you just running around thinking you should be in the Hall of Fame? You know, so they didn't go there for that. So that's what makes this very, very interesting. And I like how they were able to pull it off. And Jeffrey, yeah, you're right. It does make you wonder how they're going to do it next. And I really like this. Eric says Bray needs to be next for the Hall of Fame. Well, just to be clear, Bray had already been suggested for the Hall of Fame, but the family wasn't ready for it. And so I respect that. And I hope we will respect that. And we will respect that whenever the family is ready for that, it will happen and not a moment sooner. And so, yeah, that's important. Let's see. And now this is Triple H's second Hall of Fame class. I think he will put his own spin, not only on the class, but how we find out. I think he's already doing that. He's already doing that. And that's exciting. Who's going to be inducted next as a surprise? Well, we'll all have to wait and find out. And who knows when it will happen? I mean, we know WrestleMania is literally 2 months away. 2 months and a week or so. So yeah, we've got a little bit of time. And I also don't know how large the class will be, but remember, if they are indeed doing the Hall of Fame as they have over the last couple of years, immediately after SmackDown, then they won't have too many people in that Hall of Fame class because you don't want this to be too terrifically long. Remember,
yeah, they usually have like what, five people?
Yeah, they've had five before. So they've had classes as large as eight. But then I know, you know, last year, if my memory serves me correctly, it was like maybe three or four tops. So
see, one person had to ruin it all for everybody with these
long speeches, you know, but I will say this, I think, you know, you have to, it can't be a space for everybody to get in or else it's not exclusive. So, you know, I don't want there to be the pressure of having to do six if you can't find, ooh, you know, the kinds of people.
The way you made me think about that is one day we'll be able to talk. Well, we probably do it already, but one day we'll probably have a heightened list of Hall of Fame snubs.
Yeah. Well, there's argument to be made for some now. I think there are people who are looking at names like Lex Luger, names like Sid Vicious, you know, wondering why those names have not been considered as of yet. But again, it's a new era and we'll see really where we are. Let's see. Ronnie makes a comment. My opinion, Michelle McCool isn't Hall of Fame worthy. Now DEI would. Okay, I'm trying to decode this. I don't want to be like that, but I'd like for you to make your comment a little clearer. Would there be any Black Hall of Fame? I don't understand this comment.
Now DEI, will there be any Black Hall of Famers, is I guess what they're trying to say. And I don't.
DEI.
Oh, that's such a bad word to be using, man.
You know,
not today. Please, not today.
You know, I'm trying. What I will say is this. This is what I will say. if you're going to make a statement to say that someone isn't Hall of Fame worthy, which is your opinion, we do deal with facts around here. So create a case in terms of why we should believe that Michelle McCool isn't Hall of Fame worthy. And the DEI comment doesn't make any sense, because if you knew your history, you would know that the second or third person inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame was African American. So yeah, this is,
I think what he was trying to say, now that diversity, equity, inclusion is no longer, will there be any black people inducted? But he just,
well, here's the thing. I go back to the fact that 1994, 93 is Andre the Giant, the only inductee into the Hall of Fame that year. 94 is where we ended up with Bobo Brazil. And then 95, we had Ernie Ladd. This was way before a DEI kind of space. Mm-hmm. So I would hope that we would not be stuck in that kind of space to think that WWE would operate that way.
Right.
Ultimately, I would say this. I don't want somebody inducted into the Hall of Fame solely because they're black, solely because they're a woman, solely because they're whatever. Induct them because of their contributions to the business, and you can't tell the story of the business without them.
Exactly. I think that comment stems more from, and I've only seen this the past couple of days, and it's like it perked my ears up. Mm-hmm. But this is one of the first few years that WWE has not acknowledged Black History Month.
It is. And I will say this. I think a couple of things are a little tricky. And, you know, I'm going to leave that there.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough. Because, I mean,
it is tough.
Even you don't need the T-shirts and stuff like that, not the pandering, but I think what most people are looking for, that they search for, at least online, is probably at least just a social post.
Sure.
I think they did the vignettes for Dr. King, and to not follow it up like they do every other year.
Well, you'll remember that the Dr. King things happened before there were executive orders.
Ooh, you know what? Yeah.
Think about it. It happened before there were executive orders. So, So that's interesting.
I guess it's just the first wave, because we might see the same thing for Hispanic Heritage Month. And
yeah, wow, you know,
I'm
interested to see how all of this plays out. I would hope that it would not play out in a space of Hall of Fame, because Hall of Fame is not based on that. But it is not lost on me that we have not seen, the posts that we would normally see, or the effort that we would normally see in this space. So I think this is one of those moments where you just watch very carefully and see how it's all going to play out. Courtney is with us. Courtney, how are you?
Yeah, I'm doing good. Happy Valentine's Day. Happy Friday.
Happy Valentine's Day. Happy Friday to you. All right. So let's push on. Josh Alexander, his final match with TNA aired last night. And now the question has been, where will he end up? There's been talks about a number of places, but the word on the street right now is that Josh Alexander is expected to sign with AEW. That is according to Sean Ross Sapp. He says that sources in AEW and close to Josh Alexander expect AEW to be his landing spot if he hasn't signed with them already. So, again, it's certainly not official, but I'm curious, and I'll start with you, Courtney. Where do you see Josh Alexander landing? Do you see him landing in AEW or somewhere else?
I would not be shocked. I mean, it would be a good opportunity for him to be in AEW, but I would like for him to be in the Ring of Honor space, because that's something that I was very interested and curious on, because I know Jericho's the Ring of Honor champion, but it's like in the back of my mind, it would be nice for him to give a little oomph into the men's division of Ring of Honor, since technically they're kind of hand in hand with each other. So if he does,
who's sign hand in hand with each other?
AEW and Ring of Honor, since they're under the same owner. That's what I meant. But I would not be shocked with Josh. I mean, AEW is a possibility, but I would not be shocked if he entered in the Ring of Honor space.
Mayor, where do you see Josh Alexander landing?
The AEW stuff doesn't surprise me. I was hoping more for New Japan or NXT. You know, this he could have been the antithesis to the North Quarter Catch Crew. Like, there could have been so much good that could have happened presentation-wise there for more traditional grappling wrestling. Of course, even with the partnership with Bloodsport now that they've been showing. Mm-hmm. But if it is AEW, I do see him, I guess, I think he'll have his AEW television run and then be prominently featured in Ring of Honor. And I just feel like that's, I don't want to say beneath, because we do see people kind of have to sink or swim with AEW television. But I hope they utilize him properly when he gets there, if that's a foregone conclusion.
That is always the question. That's always the question. Where will he end up and how will he be used? You know, this is interesting. An interesting comment from Special Nobodies, who says, I like Josh, but I don't see superstar in him. And I think that ultimately becomes the question when we're looking at a WWE space, you know, understanding all that WWE looks for and understanding the platforms that WWE presents, be it NXT, be it SmackDown or Raw. You really have to be, especially to be added to what they're doing, you have to be somebody who moves the needle and can do more than just wrestle. And this is certainly not a knock to Josh Alexander. I see why some would say Ring of Honor, because of kind of the pure wrestling technique that they bring to the table. My only concern with it being a Ring of Honor space is it will not put him on television. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's a major concern. To go from being a TNA world champion to not being featured on TV certainly would be a step down. Now, the question is this, you know, AEW as of late seems to have found a groove, and they have certainly presented some of the newer talent in a great way. Looking at obviously what's happening with the Hurt Business, you know, granted, and I don't want any smoke, the Hurt Business is a bit of a different commodity than Josh Alexander. One could make an argument that if he lands in AEW or WWE, it will be his largest stage to date. So it's a real question to see how he would last in that space. I will go so far as to say this: if they could take a Kazuchika Okada, who really we felt like didn't need any assistance, and add a comedic element to him, you know, could something like that happen for Josh Alexander? Not necessarily comedic, but something personality driven that would spark some degree of interest. We don't know, but we'll see. And again, you know, there's a lot of speculation right now. Go ahead, Mayor.
See that? I'll have thoughts on this later on with the personality driven stuff when we talk about the Grand Slam preview. But it's like, the alternative is supposed to be the wrestling company, but people will complain about, oh, not enough personality or character. And it's like, what, we got to pick a struggle.
Well, and okay, we'll save that conversation for then, because I have thoughts on that, but we'll save that. Don't forget that.
Oh, I won't.
So we'll see where Josh Alexander lands. Now, some interesting news about this new show, Evolve. Now, you'll remember, of course, that toward the end of 2024, WWE aired its final episode of NXT Level Up. And there have been a lot of questions in terms of what happens now. Well, really, there are two things that are happening. There is this show, Evolve, which will air March the 5th on Tubi, beginning at 8 p.m., which then means you'll have WWE programming almost every night of the week, which is actually wild to think about it. Mm-hmm. The only night that we won't have that programming will be Thursday, and non-PLE Saturdays. That's actually amazing. But what has been announced is it is announced that there's going to be a championship on the WWE Evolve brand. So they've already had their first set of tapings, and those tapings were held inside of the Performance Center, or they will be held. The first set were held a couple of weeks ago, and the next set will be held next Friday, and it will be in front of invited guests. Apparently, the championship has already been created, and this Evolve situation is going to be a combination of developmental talents in WWE and independent wrestlers who are part of the WWE ID program. And ironically, a certain Gabe Sapolsky is in charge of WWE Evolve Creative. Now, for those who know their history, you know that Evolve was its own brand separate from WWE. They did have a connection to WWE and NXT, and some notable NXT stars like the Street Profits held tag team gold over in Evolve. Also, names like Austin Theory held the Evolve Championship for quite some time as well. And we saw a number of stars from Evolve make their way over to WWE. So there's been a longstanding connection between those two brands. What are your thoughts on a new championship being introduced into WWE, the Evolve Championship? We'll start with you, Courtney.
This is actually a good opportunity. I actually really do like it. And I would love to see, well, probably when it premieres, I would love to see a photo of the belt. Just curious on how it looks design wise, because I'm always a visual person. I always have to look at things from that perspective, but I'm very excited on this. Oh my God. Programming. So much programming for WWE, but this is a really good opportunity and a nice space. And also I wouldn't mind watching this too, especially if you have Tubi.
Well, the good news is Tubi is free. So you can just download the Tubi app and you can watch it that way. So that certainly makes it easy for everyone who wants to watch. What are your thoughts on this potential championship? Well, there's no potential. It is a championship over in Evolve.
Normally I'm anti like two mini belts, but this seems like it'll be completely separate from the WWE sphere and space. Correct. So I think it's a good thing because it adds an accolade, kind of a feather in a cap for those superstars who are just trying to start their journey and go on. So I think having like being the first iteration of this iteration, like Evolve Champion, that will add a sense of credibility when they finally move on to the main roster, move on NXT. Yeah. You can reference that. And I think that's why they're doing it. So people who might not tune into the show religiously weekly, you say, hey, this person's a former Evolve Champion. It automatically adds credibility to the performer. Yeah. So I think it's a good thing all around.
So with that said, and with LFG, which is Legends and Future Greats, debuting this Sunday, can we now officially say that NXT is no longer a developmental brand?
I've never viewed it as one, but they won't just rip the Band-Aid off and just make it a third. I think it shows that with the Meta Girls not winning the titles, that they still kind of little brother NXT and they need to just rip the Band-Aid off.
Courtney?
I never really saw it as a developmental brand. Since I started watching NXT recently, I really thought it was the third brand. And also, as Mare said, soon enough, they kind of have to rip off the Band-Aid because the last couple of months, as I started watching it, so much talent galore. We've seen a few of them be on the main roster, and also there will be more to come. So I never saw it as a developmental brand.
You know, nothing. NXT has had better production. I'm just going to say, I feel like they've had better production than Raw and SmackDown for a very long time.
Yeah. I think the developmental brand added to NXT started with its inception. It changed as it moved to the black and gold brand. But then when 2.0 showed up and they flat out called it a developmental brand, we were forced to kind of accept that. But then it switched again from the 2.0 to kind of what we're seeing now, a hybrid black and gold to now this platinum and black situation. I think it's hard to call NXT a developmental brand when you have other shows that are working to get you to NXT. You know, so the goal of LFG is one of those 16 superstars or potential superstars are fighting for an NXT contract. If you're looking at Evolve, which involves developmental talent and those who have been ID'd from the indies, they are also fighting for a spot on NXT. So I think, you know, for all of those who have been calling NXT a developmental brand, we can't do that anymore. For one, you wouldn't put your developmental brand as the only brand on network television, broadcast television. I don't think you'd do that. So there's that. And again, with the caliber of stars in NXT, you know, I don't know that people understand how many people have been sitting in the performance center for quite some time. You'll get probably a better understanding of that this weekend as you watch LFG and see how long some of them have been in the performance center and you have never seen them before inside of a ring. So this is interesting. A couple of questions. Ronnie has responded and he said, my bad for that horrible runoff sentence. I was in a rush. I was just on my pro black. Okay, I'm for that.
That's what I thought he meant. I just think
I couldn't tell. And so I wanted to
whenever,
try to
whenever you write DEI anywhere nowadays and you write it in front of a black person, my antenna is going to go up like, yo. Like,
yeah, immediately. Let's see. Eric says WWE needs a TV championship. Well, I don't know. Those mid-card championships are doing just what they need to do, I think.
TV championship. That was last in WCW, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's in AEW. There are TNT and TBS championships. Is Gabe Sapolsky involved with this new Evolve? He is. He is head of creative of this new Evolve. So that only makes sense. Let's see. I've always viewed it as a third brand. Yeah, I'm there too. There is a Samoan on the LFG show. Yeah, if you haven't had a chance, there is kind of a sneak peek of LFG that's on YouTube where you get to learn the 16 hopefuls who are a part of this show. Some very, very interesting personalities there. I'll tell you, one of them happens to be the son of a prominent boxing champion. See if you can fill in the blanks.
Former running back too.
Yes, yes. Let's see. NXT is becoming more like a finishing school,
so for college,
lack of a better term. So college is what we're calling it.
I'm
still on the fence. I don't know if you'd put your college kids in the Royal Rumble. You know, but you know, we'll see. We'll see. All right. So yeah, Evolve premieres March the 5th on Tubi. That, in case you did not know, is, you guessed it, a Wednesday night.
Yeah.
Directly apart and opposed from Courtney's beloved AEW Dynamite. So your wrestling calendar now looks like this. Sundays, you have Superstar Sundays on A&E. Monday, you've got Raw on Netflix. Tuesday, you've got NXT on the CW. Wednesday, starting March the 5th, you'll have AEW Dynamite and you'll have Evolve on Tubi. Thursdays, you'll have TNA and Ring of Honor. Fridays, you'll have SmackDown. Saturday, you'll have Collision. And of course, a sprinkled in WWE PLE. It's going to be a fun, fun time for sure.
Too much wrestling.
No. I remember when there was only one wrestling show a week, so never too much. Now then, I said it was a very, very busy weekend, and that busy weekend actually starts right now, because right now, is the 74th annual NBA All-Star Weekend. And it kicks off with the All-Star Celebrity Game. And representing all of pro wrestling is the Hugger. Well, she's not the Hugger anymore. She's your role model, Bailey. Mm-hmm. Bailey is on the team coached by Jerry Rice and KB Lame. If I said that name wrong, forgive me. That team's going to be interesting. You've got a little hodgepodge there. You've got comedian Drewski on there. You've got country music star Shaboozy on there. Also, you've got a basketball trainer named Chris Brickley. Walker Hayes is on there. Oliver Stark, NBA champion Matt Barnes, WNBA champion Kayla Thornton, Olympic silver medalist Shelby McEwen, AP Dillon, and then Hall of Fame wide receiver Terrell Owens are all on that team coached by Jerry Rice and KB Lame. And they will be taking on a team coached by, of all people, Barry Bonds and 2 Chainz. Remember, it's the All-Star Celebrity Game, right? And on that team, you've got Kai Cenat, who, of course, is a very popular streamer, Noah Kahn, who is a musician, actor, Pablo Schreiber, Masai Russell, who's an Olympic gold medalist, actor Dylan Wang, former NBA star Baron Davis, WNBA All-Star Alicia Gray. Then you've got actor Danny Ramirez, country music star Mickey Guyton. That should be fun. Tucker Halpern and Rome Flynn. Those will be your players for the All-Star Game. It's happening in the Bay. So if you're wondering why Barry Bonds and Jerry Rice are there, obviously they are 2 significant figures in the sports world from the Bay. So they are coaching the celebrity teams. Should be a fun night. And that's actually airing now on ESPN.
Mm-hmm.
Any thoughts about Bailey and how she could do in this celebrity basketball game, Courtney?
I think she's going to be great for this one because she's from the Bay. She knows the area very well. And also, I want to see her dribble on the basketball court, just seeing if she has some skills.
You want to see her dribble?
Yeah, I want to see her. I want to see how she does on the basketball court, have a little bit of basketball. I just want to see how she does.
You want to see her dribble?
Yes.
Okay. I was certainly thinking you want to see how she was shooting and
yes,
shooting. You know, she could play, but you want to see her dribble. Sed, how do you think Bailey's going to do in this environment?
You know what? Usually all those names, but I think out of the few Bailey's, the actual hometown girl. So I think the coaches will do everything in their efforts to try to feed her to rock, see if they can try to get her to get MVP. But there are professional basketball players. I heard Baron Davis' name, very popular time with Golden State Warriors on the other team. But I will say, you know what? I'm gonna not hedge the bets. I say Bailey scores in the double digits.
Ah, okay.
I'll say double digits.
Okay. That should be fun. This makes for an extremely busy week for Bailey. Mm-hmm. I mean, Bailey, of course, was on Monday Night Raw qualifying for the Elimination Chamber. She then went cross country to NXT on Tuesday and lost in that match. Now she's back on the West Coast tonight. And then tomorrow we'll fly back to Washington, D.C. for her shot at the NXT Women's Championship. What a week.
That schedule is
nuts. That's crazy.
Nuts,
that's a wild that's scale. A
crazy wild. Schedule. Double coasts twice in a week. Mm-hmm. That's insane. That's insane. So let's talk about Baron Corbin very quickly, or the artist formerly known as Baron Corbin. Baron Corbin was recently on an episode of Busted Open, now known as Bishop Dyer. And he was talking about WWE's decision to part ways with him. And he said Randy Orton spoke up because Randy Orton was like, I got to call Triple H. You know, you've been a company guy, all of these things. It doesn't really make sense. But Mr. Corbin or Mr. Dyer says that he believes that there is one person that made this decision or influenced the decision. That's what put him in the position he's in now. He said, I'm not going to let one person control my destiny. Karma will come back on whoever that person is. I'm not putting their name out because I don't need that negative energy. I don't necessarily want to speculate, but who on earth could Baron Corbin be talking about that could have been the person who influenced, in his mind, the decision for him to be released? Courtney?
I can't make any specific speculations because what he said was very, very, very interesting. And I just don't want to point a finger on it because, especially going on Busted Open, that is actually very interesting and explain the whole situation. So I really can't put my finger on who it is per se, but whoever he's talking about, well, guess the carve is going to go on to whoever.
All right. Any ideas on who that could be said, or maybe even why he felt the need to say this in such a public forum?
Absolutely. Why would you do that, Natalia? That karma is going to come.
Why you got to put in the boat?
And we're going to get you out the paint. No, I'm joking. We don't want to spread misinformation. You know, it has to be somebody with a little bit of pull backstage, probably of a similar ilk, another vet, or honestly, it doesn't have to even be a performer. Now that I think about it, it could be one of the producers that could have maybe looked at the way, like, hey, we don't have much for him, especially post Wolf Dogs, things like that. But him speaking his truth, knowing that he's been with the company for so long and he went back to NXT to help elevate the men's division and some of those stars that are next up. I mean, I remember there was a time where Corbin had his Rumble spot, and I think did he eliminate Brock? I forget who he eliminated. He eliminated a big name, like his first Rumble. So you thought that he would kind of have a different trajectory. So, but like you said, if he's just been a company guy doing what's asked of him the whole time, like that's what you want from a company so big. Like you can put him anywhere and it makes sense on the card. So I hope he does get some redemption in these next year or two of his career to reestablish himself as one of the best performers in the world. And hopefully they do give him a call again.
Would certainly be nice. We certainly wish Bishop Dyer, aka or FKA Baron Corbin, well. All right, let's get into SmackDown. Again, a lot of wrestling happening tonight. SmackDown happening at the top of the hour, and it will be headlined by a women's title match. Wild to see this happen. Tiffany Stratton, Nia Jax, the rematch, of course. Tiffany Stratton cashed in against Nia Jax, won the championship, and they did not have a full-on match. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with this tonight. We also have qualifying matches for the Elimination Chamber, including Naomi taking on the U.S. champion, Chelsea Green. This qualifier, I mean, what else can you say? You've got Braun Strowman, Jacob Fatu, and Damian Priest all battling for one spot inside the Elimination Chamber. And we'll see the return of Solo Sikoa very quickly. Let's get your predictions on these three moments here. First of all, who's leaving as the women's champion, said?
My heart says Nia should get her title back, but I know she's not. Okay. It's going to be Tiffany, and I just don't know. There's a long list of people that Nia have pissed off in recent weeks, so I don't think it's going to be clean, but Tiffany retains.
Okay. Courtney?
This is definitely be a physical match with these two, and I know Charlotte's going to be watching this match very, very closely. I would love to give it to the queen, but I want Tiffy to still be champion.
Okay. All right. All right. Now then, who's going to the chamber? Is it Chelsea or is it Naomi? Courtney?
As much as I would love for Naomi to win, I'm going with Chelsea Green tonight. I'm going with Miss Chelsea.
Interesting choice. Said.
I think there's a lot you can do for comedic purposes with having Chelsea in the chamber, but I also think you need both women's tag champs in the chamber to continue to tease whatever we're doing with Dissension and the Jade story, because we haven't forgotten. So for that, I think Naomi goes along.
Yeah, I would tend to agree with that for sure. Plus, you already yeah, that makes sense. That makes
Bianca's
sense.
In.
Bianca's in there, and the Intercontinental Champion lost. So we'll be interesting to see. Then there's this one. Braun, Jacob Fatu, Damian Priest.
Oh, boy.
Courtney.
Whew, there's going to be a lot of chaos in this match and a lot of physicality. I would pick Jacob for this match, but I really, really, really want Damian Priest to win. So I'm going to go with Damian.
Okay. Set?
Yeah, I got Damian. I think Braun and Jacob cancel each other out, and we get another one of those one-on-one matches between them. But the thought of Jacob Fatu just being the wrecking ball in the chamber is such a good idea with how stacked the chamber is already.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to put it out there, Jacob Fatu. I think, you know, we've gotten our first bit of teases of Jacob standing across from Cody. And I think you put Jacob in the main event conversation when you have him in there with Punk, with Cena, with Drew. Yeah, you create some real moments. I don't know if he wins the chamber match, but I know he does absolutely wreak havoc, probably to the point where maybe he gets disqualified or some foolishness like that. But he's going to create some problems for some people, and I think that'll happen. What is Solo doing tonight? Like, I know he's supposed to actually say something, but he's not actually really said a word since losing the Tribal Chief match, Tribal Combat, back at the debut of Raw on Netflix. So what could Solo possibly have to say tonight? What do you think, Sid?
This is where it's tough, because like that Ulafala match was supposed to, I guess, put a bow on everything Bloodline story. In theory, it should have, especially with knowing that The Rock is not going to be at Mania this year. But I feel like this is what's going to reignite it somehow. I don't know what will exactly be said or what will exactly be a target. Or even if Tama and Jacob are still taking orders from Solo, maybe we'll see something involved along that. But I think what's next for Solo, if it's not directly Roman, I think he maybe finds a way to screw with Jay.
Oh, wow. Okay. Courtney, what's Solo doing tonight?
There's a lot of segues for Solo, because after the match that he had with Roman, and then he just walked away quietly on SmackDown, because we thought, okay, the Bloodline storyline, that's there for now. But also, we saw something happen on SmackDown last week. Him attacking Cody Rhodes out of nowhere. So that's another question. It's like, does he want to talk to Tama and Jacob? Why did he attack Cody? So there's a lot of avenues going into this one, but this should be very interesting.
It will be quite interesting. We'll see what happens for sure. All right, that leads us, of course, into Vengeance Day tomorrow night from NXT. And again, there's a lot of wrestling happening over these next 48 hours. So up next would be Vengeance Day. We'll start with the NXT Women's Title match, which is now a fatal four-way. Julia versus Roxanne versus Cora Jade versus Bayley, who, again, remember, many of them are probably in DC right now, except for Bayley, who is playing in the All-Star game, and will then have to hop on a plane afterwards and head to Washington, D.C. Is there any way that Bayley walks out of here as champion, given all that she's done this week? Courtney, who leaves as NXT Women's Champion?
I'm picking Julia to retain the NXT Women's Championship.
Okay. Set.
Julia retains and Cora is here to eat the pin.
Okay. 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 I do think it's too early for Julia to lose the championship. But I definitely think we're going to see some dissension with Cora and Roxanne. Bailey is in the chamber. Roxanne could qualify for the chamber Monday night. I don't think she'll qualify as NXT champion. I'll go with Julia on this one. Let's see. The North American Championship up for grabs. Fallon Henley, Stephanie the Core. Courtney.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, this is very tough to call. So tough to call. But I would love for Stephanie to be the new champion. But for some odd reason, I see Fallon Henley retaining the title. So I'm picking Fallon.
Okay. Said.
Has Fallon been champion for at least 90 days?
I believe so. I'm trying to remember exactly when she won that title. Was it Halloween Havoc? I'll go find out.
Yeah, it was Halloween. I think it was Halloween Havoc.
Jeez, man. I think it was. I feel like Fallon just got stamped by Mickie James, but I know we have to do something with Stephanie soon, especially since Julie is a champ. And this is like her first like one-on-one, like outside of like Fatal Influence. Yeah, yeah. This Stephanie gets her moment.
Yeah, it was at Halloween Havoc. That is correct. Yep. So, all right. Let's see. We've got, we seem to all be kind of in the same space right now. Everybody's picking Stephanie Vacour to walk away as champ. Special Nobody says Fallon seems like the definition of transitional champ.
But it hasn't been transitional.
No, it hasn't. I think she's done some she's gotten several wins.
What a Kalani. Kalani had the title for a summer and a little bit of change after that. Correct. This is about the same timeline.
Yeah, yeah. She had it for that season. Let's see. This one. Tag team titles. Fraxium against Briggs and Ikemura. Ooh. Or Inamora, I'm sorry, Inamora. Courtney.
This is going to be probably Fraxium's toughest challenge to date. And we've seen what happened with this past weekend in that triple threat match, which was chaotic. But they are the Houdinis of the tag team division in NXT. So I do think Fraxium is going to retain. And also, and I didn't mention this on Wednesday, but when they were on TNA last week, they had a little teaser with a certain tag team champions in TNA. So I'm just going to leave it at that. But I'm picking Fraxium to retain.
Set?
I'm over it. I'm so over it. Like, I don't even know how we even talk about Fraxium anymore. They're not losing. They never lose. I'm pretty sure the Rascals are still owed a tag team title shot. This I have to go back to the fact that MSK didn't win the titles when they should have, and now we're in this timeline where Fraxium is invincible. They're invincible. Like, I don't get it. It's going to take a team to come down to beat Fraxium, and I don't know who that team is on the main roster.
Interesting. The tag match that happened Tuesday night was incredible. I am still amazed at how all of the tag team divisions within WWE have really stepped it up. We now have teams, you know, having great matches, creating great opposition for Fraxium. Certainly what's interesting is this team is bigger. They are stronger. They are more brutal. So it'll be a question of speed versus power here. And I don't know. I almost think that Fraxium will go into Stand and Deliver as champions, and that'll be where they lose. But to who is the real question? We'll have to wait until then to find out. Speaking of that, I believe tickets are on sale for Stand and Deliver soon, if they aren't already.
Because it's at a good time now at noon.
Yeah, let's see. I thought they said that those tickets were going to be on sale. All right, we'll figure that out. I'll let you guys know that shortly. But I feel like they are, I think they are on sale right now, actually. I'm looking. They are on sale right now. Mm-hmm.
Go get those tickets,
stand
guys.
And deliver. Yeah.
Get your ticket.
Probably one of your best parts of the weekend is in an intimate venue and watching.
Well, as intimate as the T-Mobile Arena can be, right? So there's that. But it's certainly more intimate than the Allegiant Stadium. You'll definitely want to check that out. All right. Javon Evans, who finally got cleared, but they've kind of signed a waiver that, hey, if you get beaten down, we aren't responsible. Javon Evans, Ethan Page, who leaves as the winner for that one, Courtney?
I would go with Javon, but I just have a feeling Ethan Page is going to get a sneaky win somewhere, somehow. So I'm going with all ego himself, Ethan Page.
Okay. Said.
I'm going Ethan Page. I think Page needs it more. And by Page winning, this character shift we're seeing for Javon Evans will allow him to continue to mature.
Okay. All right. I think Javon Evans is due his comeuppance, and I think this is where it will happen for him and get him back in the picture. Now this one right here, a strap match. Eddie Thorpe, Trick Williams. Courtney.
I am liking the shift of development within Trick Williams. I really am starting to like it. And we did see the promo that he did on this past Tuesday on NXT. I'm going to give the win to Trick Williams. I think he is going to beat Eddie Thorpe.
Okay. Said.
Whoever signed off on a strap match during Black History Month needs to show themselves.
That's
bad. And it adds fuel to the fire. Everything else people are speculating. But I really don't know what this Eddie Thorpe thing is around like the main event picture. And with that, I feel like something has to give. At the NXT, when Oba won the championship, he wasn't really in the match, but somehow he still targeted Trick. So it's like, what are we doing with him as a character? Are we going to pull the trigger on it or not? And you know what? I'm gonna go against the grain. I think Eddie Thorpe wins. Because I feel like they have to do something with the character. And if he beats, for all intents and purposes, Trick is still the guy in NXT.
Yeah.
You don't need the belt to be the guy. He's still the face of the brand. So if you want to make Eddie Thorpe a made man and make us actually care about this rivalry, he should win this match. And we continue to see Trick kind of spiral out and be more aggressive.
Yeah, I actually agree with you. I think that an Eddie Thorpe win does two things here. It positions Eddie Thorpe for us to care, but it increases the level of aggression for Trick Williams, because now not only did I lose my championship, but I'm losing to Eddie Thorpe. Oh, no.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no. So I think we see Trick spiral into something crazy for Stand and Deliver. And the thing is, I don't know. You know, I wonder, and I'm just speculating now, I wonder how much of a crossover presence we're getting at WrestleMania weekend. And I say that because Stand and Deliver is that Saturday, right? It's that Saturday. But what's just been announced is 2 days prior, that Thursday, TNA has a full pay-per-view in Vegas at the Cox Pavilion. You can't tell me that they're all going to be in the same city.
UNLV.
Yeah. You can't tell me they're all going to be in the same city and somebody's not crossing the line. So this is going to be interesting. It's been a long time since TNA has done something during Mania weekend, but now with this partnership in Vegas, it all makes sense. It makes me wonder, if we get Trick and some degree of a TNA crossover happening for Stand and Deliver. And I will go so far as to say, this is an early prediction, somewhere at Stand and Deliver is Joe Hendry.
I stand corrected. The Cox Pavilion will be the most intimate setting you can get WrestleMania week.
Yes. Yes. It'll be special. It'll be special. All right. And then, of course, speaking of the NXT Championship, Obafemi defends against A-Town Down. What are your thoughts on this one, Courtney?
I'm actually going to pick Obafemi to retain. And also, I'll throw in a bold prediction. I think A-Town Down Under is going to break up after this match.
Is that really that bold?
I don't know. We need bold on that one. Bold, but I wouldn't be shocked if it did happen. But
Said, your predictions.
As much as I would love for Grayson Waller to sneak a win and become champion, because I think he can be a good standalone character like he was in NXT, Obafemi is retaining, and I feel like it's Waller's fault that Theory gets pinned.
There's a couple of ways this could go, and I'm actually reminded of it feels like Spring Breakout 2022, I think. I think that's right. 22, 23. It feels like 22, though. A certain current Nick Nemeth, former Dolph Ziggler, found himself in a title match against Bron Breakker and shocked the world by becoming the NXT champion to go into Stand and Deliver and again beat Bron Breakker to retain the NXT championship. And then Breakker, of course, regained it on an episode of Raw. It would be wild for Austin Theory to leave Vengeance Day as the NXT champion to create a moment at Stand and Deliver for Obafemi to potentially retain.
Two black men lose on Vengeance Day. I'm not ready for the amount of big pieces we will have.
Oh, next Lord, I know. In oh NXT God. Of all places.
Oh, my God.
NXT of all places. So I'm going to throw this out there then. If Obafemi, I mean, I think most people think Obafemi is going to get past A-Town Down. If he does, who is his opponent at Stand and Deliver?
People keep saying like this whole, I am anti John Cena capturing a 17 title if it's a TNA title. I'll just be vocal about that. I don't think it counts, but I don't see why you couldn't do a champion versus champion with Joe Hendry and Obafemi.
Okay. Courtney? I think
that would draw the right attention.
Yeah, that'd be interesting for sure.
That'd be very interesting. For me, I'm trying to think who would be a good one. I mean, champions versus champions is the way to go. But another person on TNA that I would probably see challenge Oba for the title, Nick Nemeth.
Okay. He's a former NXT champion. Okay. I think there are two potential options for Stand and Deliver. If we're going the crossover route, it's WrestleMania weekend. Give us the match we've wanted, Oba and Moose. If we don't go the crossover route, it's Mania weekend. Stand and Deliver. If Oba's going to retain, he's got to defend against Ricky Starks. Woo! That is a Stand and Deliver.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Stand and Deliver. And honestly, crown Ricky Starks, send Oba to Raw or SmackDown. Oba doesn't need a long reign in NXT. I think his reign needs to be long enough to infuse, you know, some life into the men's division. You could make the argument that if we have enough crossover, we could be all right. If we're signing free agents, you know, we also have the ID program. We've got enough things where we can funnel some men in here so that Oba can make the move if necessary. But if this is going to be the biggest WrestleMania of all time, then it needs to be the biggest Stand and Deliver of all time. Mm-hmm. And it can't be the Don, right? We had the Don at a Stand and Deliver before for the NXT championship. Like, we can't do that. We can't do that. Let's not.
I hope during this title reign, if it's going to be a short title reign for Oba and he's this big imposing figure, I hope we get like Oba versus Omos at some point, just to give somebody bigger
You could have Omos show up in NXT. That's not an impossibility. Mm. Just finish this Japanese tour.
I know. Mm-hmm. We haven't even seen what he's learned yet in the States.
Right. So that wouldn't be a bad place to do it. So lots of options for Vengeance Day. Again, that's happening 6 p.m. Eastern tomorrow. So make sure you check that out. Remember these earlier PLE times for WWE. We're telling you that so that you don't tune in late and, you know, be upset that you missed it. 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific tomorrow for Vengeance Day. Now then, after that, at some point, and I don't know when Global Wars for Ring of Honor will air. It might air on the Ring of Honor platform, but this is happening tomorrow. We'll see Athena defending the Women's World Championship against Alex Windsor. We'll see the Pure Championship up for grabs as Lee Moriarty defends against Robbie Eagles. We'll see the Tag Team Championships up for grabs as the Sons of Texas, Dustin Rhodes and Sammy Guevara, take on the MXM Collection. And in trios action, it'll be the world champion Chris Jericho, along with Big Bill and Brian Keith. They are the Learning Tree, taking on Bandido and the Outrunners. Any predictions coming out of this Ring of Honor card that features three championship matches? Courtney.
I think there's going to be new tag team champions for Global Wars of a Ring of Honor. And also, I do see Bandido and the Outrunners winning, but I do see Bandido pinning Chris Jericho in the match.
Okay. How about you, Seth?
You know what? I can see new tag team champions with M&M Collection capturing gold, especially on the heels of the match with Dustin just having against MJF earlier this week. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I don't really see any other championships changing hands. Athena's not losing that world title. And I don't think Moriarty is losing his Pure Championship either. I think Jericho and company will actually find a way to win. I'll just leave that there. I don't know when this is going to air. I don't know if it's going to air on Ring of Honor television on their Honor Club platform or not. So once I become aware of that, I will let you know. But this is absolutely happening tomorrow. And then, of course, after the All-Star Game, we will see Grand Slam Australia, which will feature Mariah May defending the Women's Championship against Toni Storm. We'll see Mercedes Moné defend against Harley Cameron. We'll see the Death Riders take on Cope and Jay White in a Brisbane brawl. Kazuchika Okada defends the Continental Championship against Buddy Matthews. And we'll have Will Ospreay and Kenny Omega against Konosuke Takeshita and Kyle Fletcher. Let's get into some of these predictions. I'll start with you, Courtney. I know how deeply tied you are to this matchup. Mariah May, Toni Storm.
Ladies and gentlemen, my client's going to be a four-time AEW Women's Champion. No questions. She's going to get it. Toni Storm.
Okay.
Will it really be four, not three?
It'll be four.
It'll be four.
First time ever.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that's a hell of a statement. Oh, yeah. Man. Okay. That makes me want to pick Mariah May because that's a hell of a statement to make somebody a four-time in such a young company. But it's almost like, why did we get here with the whole Timeless Tony gimmick again? You know what? No, I'm going to stick with my gut. I'm going to say Mariah May finds a way to retain and the rivalry continues.
Okay. Okay. All right. Let's see. From here, this is a match that honestly, I think of all of the matches on this card, this is the match that has me, that has the most buy-in for me. But Courtney, go ahead. Speak your piece. Mercedes Moné, Harley Cameron, Grand Slam, Australia. Ah, wait, before you do that. No. Go ahead and do that. Because I know Seth has something he needs to say. So go ahead. Nope, you go first. I want to hear what you have to say. Go ahead.
I've said this on my watch along the last couple weeks, and I made a bold prediction that Harley Cameron could be the new TBS champion in Australia. And here we are, going back to her home country. I'm going to tell you something. After that promo that she did, being serious, and actually she did have some good points of Mercedes, where she elevated her to next level. And I'm going to say, we're going to have a new TBS champion. I'm picking Harley Cameron.
Okay. Set.
The discourse around this match has angered me so much. Because we do this thing with Mercedes where she's the only horsewoman we say isn't deserving of her success and everything that she's gained on her own merit. And this is her first real title reign. Really, it's our first real title reign that's extended over 200 days, but we're so quick to want to take it away from her when she's put on so many match of the year candidates in the past year. She got hurt the first year, so we didn't really get it, but she's put on such great matches, and Harley has benefited just by being in this orbit, because we wouldn't be talking about her outside of this, but because she's entertaining and we get a couple of laughs, she deserves a title now just because she's a ventriloquist. What has she won? What does she want? It's entertaining. It's funny. But then what? When she gets the belt, then what? How does she help elevate the rest of the women's division like Mercedes has? The answer is she doesn't. So why would we even entertain that? Just because we got a couple of laughs out of it and a couple of good vignettes and promos. That's crazy. She's benefited so much just by being able to attach herself to Moné and make fun of her because of Mercedes being a great antagonist, because you're tired of seeing it already. But this is her first real title reign that's actually had some depth and length to it. So I don't know. I don't know why everybody's saying she should drop the title to Harley of all people. This will be the equivalent of like Maxine Dupri beating Charlotte for a title. And I don't think anybody would ever utter that in seriousness. So good. You get a title match. You've boosted your profile and your fame just by being attached to Mercedes. The same thing that happened with Joe Hendry and Top Dollar. Boosted the profile instantly because we dislike this performer so much, but we're not going to ignore that this performer is actually talented. So no, I don't think it'll be a squash, but I think Mercedes outclasses her. You might have a close fall there for the Australian crowd, but hell no, she is not beating Mercedes Moné for the TBS title. No. That would be a disservice to women's wrestling. It would be a disservice to the AEW women's division.
Disservice.
Wow. So, okay. So here's my counterpoint to that. For one, I do think, you know, for Mercedes to say that she's going to come in and uplift the women's division, then there are supposed to be some people who become better because they've been in her orbit. There are already people who have become better. I mean, Chris Statlander has had probably the best set of matches we've seen mm-hmm. from her in those matches with Mercedes Moné. Everybody has had to kind of really step it up when they're battling Mercedes Moné. The Harley Cameron conversation, I don't think is as much about the need for Mercedes to lose as much as it is the need for Harley to win. And here's why. What AEW has traditionally done has been missed the moment. We can go through countless names of moments that were missed when the trigger should have been pulled. We can start as recent as Swerve Strickland, who won the championship in April of last year, but likely should have won it in December of the prior year. He had been already super hot. By the time they got to the world title match that he gave him during Revolution, where Sting retired, he should have certainly had it by then. They didn't pull that trigger. Go back before that to everybody talking about the Acclaimed, when the Acclaimed was so hot, and they said that the Acclaimed should have won at All Out or All In, whichever one it is, in Chicago, All Out. And they didn't. They didn't pull the trigger on that. They pulled it a couple of weeks later after everybody kind of had a bit of a fit about it. AEW has historically not struck while the iron is hot. And that has proven to be ultimately problematic. The thing about wrestling, which is wild, is you have to hit the moment at the right time. I maintain that, you know, you look, and this isn't just an AEW thing. I maintain that LA Knight won the U.S. title too late. Had he won that title earlier, we probably would have cared more about that run. But by the time he won it, it was toward the, we were so tired of him not winning it that we just resolved ourselves to, he's not going to win it. Let's move forward. Let's move to another space. It's why they have to get things right at WrestleMania with Jey Uso. Jey Uso can't leave WrestleMania without the world championship. He cannot. Taking us back to Harley Cameron and Mercedes Moné. Harley Cameron is the story we all love. She is the wrestler who wasn't supposed to be here. As she chronicled, she didn't even know what she was doing a year ago. She's put in the hard work. And whether you call this a pro wrestling company or not, the entertainment factor in every single sport is why we love who we love in these sports. Okay? You could make an argument that at one point the Dallas Mavericks were the best team in the NBA. But nobody talked about the Dallas Mavericks because they didn't have the pizzazz. They didn't have the personality. You could say the same about the San Antonio Spurs, right? You had the coach there who was hard-nosed, but you didn't have a star that you could build the brand on. We loved Robinson, right? We loved these people, but they were straight-laced. We put the ball in the hoop. We pass real well, but we're not Showtime like the Lakers, right? We don't have these amazingly larger-than-life personalities. That is not just a pro wrestling thing. That is a sports thing. It's why we love who we love in football. It's why we love all of these people. Harley Cameron has managed to do something that very few people in AEW have done. She's pulled us in without her in-ring ability. That's one thing that most of the in-ring competitors in AEW is lacking. When Harley Cameron shows up on our TV, we all pay attention. This woman did Mercedes Moné's theme better than Mercedes. How do you rap it better than the artist and then stop and cut a full promo? Harley is figured out, and I don't know who's helped her. I don't know if she's done it on her own, if she's had coaches, but Harley has figured it out. And so, could Mercedes win the title back? Sure, she can. But honestly, Mercedes is bigger than the TBS championship. Mm-hmm. She was bigger than she walked in. Mercedes should actually be in the AEW Women's World Title conversation. Mm-hmm. Why is she, you know, making all of this noise about their Intercontinental Championship? Why? You're not a mid-card champion. Mm-hmm. You're a world champion. So basically, you're being a big fish in a little pond right now. Don't do that. Go after the big stuff. Become the world champion there. And then they can really say all the things that they want to say. So Harley Cameron, again, for what the TBS championship is supposed to do, which is to really elevate that mid-card women's division, absolutely she should get this win. And it doesn't have to be, as I say often on commentary, when you're in a wrestling match, this is not about, you know, being 30 minutes better than your opponent. It's about being 3 seconds better. Can Harley Cameron be 3 seconds better than Mercedes Moné? The answer is yes. And it is for that reason that she should become the TBS champion in Australia. Give these Australians a feel-good moment. Capitalize on this at this moment, because if you don't, you'll regret it. And then you'll try to make up for it on an episode of Dynamite, and it's not going to hit the same. You're going to try to do it on Collision. It's not going to hit the same. Harley Cameron, because if she doesn't do this here, when does she do it? When does she do it? Now, will they pull the trigger? We'll see. But the right thing to do, Harley Cameron as your TBS champion. But we'll see what happens tomorrow night. All right, the Death Riders against Cope and Jay White in this Brisbane Brawl. Brisbane Brawl, yeah. Courtney, who's walking away as the winner on this one?
After what we saw on Dynamite this past Wednesday, and also we got the main event for Revolution. For me, the question is probably who's going to need the win a lot more. I can see a lot of mayhem going into this because it's a brawl. I can see them probably going either in the ring, outside the ring, whatever. I expect a lot of mayhem between both of these teams. But I am going to give the edge to the Death Riders winning this Brisbane brawl.
Okay. Set.
Then they announced the title match, what, another week?
Yeah, Revolution for March 9th.
Yeah, I'll pick, I'm not calling him Cope. I'll pick Adam and Jay White to win this match. I don't think Mox is losing the actual title.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I will agree with that. Cope and Jay White need the win so that it's intriguing for Cope and Moxley. Kazuchika Okada, Buddy Matthews for the Continental Championship.
I got Buddy.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I feel like Okada's had this belt forever.
Yes. Feels like it's forever.
Since April.
Yep. Yeah. And hasn't Buddy kind of had to pull his teeth just to even get the title match? Correct. So if I'm being honest, this is to appease the Aussie crowd. You put the belt on Buddy Matthews, who is Australian. I remember he got his, the Cruiserweight title in Australia when he was in WWE. I think this is the title that changes hands to appease the Australian crowd here, Buddy Matthews.
Oh, okay. So you think this is the title change. Okay, got you. Got you. Courtney?
I would like for Buddy Matthews to be champion since he is from Australia. And the reason I say that is because We've seen Okada and Kenny Omega stare at each other. If they really want to make that match and go all, no pun intended, all out at All in Texas, Okada needs to drop the belt. If they really want Kenny and Okada to be one of the marquee matches going into July, have Okada drop the belt. And I'm going to pick Buddy Matthews to be the new Continental Champion.
Interesting. I think Okada retains, and I think Okada Omega with a belt is more entertaining than without. And speaking of Omega, Kenny Omega, Will Ospreay, Konosuke Takeshita, Kyle Fletcher. Courtney.
This is going to be a very interesting tag team match between all four of these stars. This is one of the first few times we see Ospreay and Omega team up together against foes that are not too against familiar foes. But if they really want to please the Australian crowd, I am definitely going to go with Takeshita and Fletcher, since Fletcher is from Australia. And also, Kyle Fletcher has been improving a lot the last couple months. I know a lot of people pick Ospreay and Omega, but it would be nice to get Kyle Fletcher a win in his home country. So I'm picking Fletcher and Takeshita to win.
Said.
I'm taking Omega and Ospreay, because the tough thing about that is, and while I agree that you want to appease the Australian audience, I cannot see Ospreay or Omega taking a pin. That's where it makes it tough for me. Like if you're saying like the disqualification happened, things like that, I can see something like that happening. But if we're just going straight across the board, no fantasy booking, then I'll take Ospreay and Omega.
Yeah, I think we have to consider, you know, because this is being aired worldwide, they can't do everything to please the Australian crowd. Mm-hmm. So everybody from Australia can't win. I think the fact that so many from Australia are on the card is obvious to be able to get the people to show up and see their hometown heroes. With that said, in no universe does it make sense for Kyle Fletcher and Konosuke Takeshita to beat Will Ospreay and Kenny Omega. Not with Omega and Ospreay teaming up for the first time ever. And it's Omega's first, you know, full match back. Like, this is a dream tag team match. Mm-hmm. It's going to have great moments for sure, but Ospreay and Omega get the win. And again, this will air and stream on Max and TNT immediately following the All-Star game. So that's a lot of wrestling for you guys, but then stick around because Sunday we've got Legends and Future Greats on A&E beginning 8 p.m. Eastern, where you've got 16 hopefuls who are competing for an NXT contract with four coaches, which include Booker T, The Undertaker, Bubba Ray Dudley, and Mickey James. So this ought to be great. It almost feels like The Voice of sorts, except for pro wrestling, which I think is going to be great. And some of the clips that I've seen already look really, really good. So I'm excited to see what this is going to look like. We've never seen anything quite like this with the hands-on nature that we understand that they will have with these legends. And again, they are going to actually compete in matches in front of an audience. And so that's different, of course, than what we would see with Tough Enough and the like. So again, big, big weekend for all of pro wrestling, which is already starting right now. I understand Bayley is already on the court for the NBA All-Star game, which is awfully cool. And then, oh, wow, I didn't realize
the time it was. Low-scoring game.
In 3 minutes, we get to SmackDown. So my apologies, but we had like four previews here. Mm-hmm. So it was a big, big weekend for sure. And I'm sorry, the All-Star game is on ESPN, guys. I meant to tell you that. I apologize. It is on ESPN, and so you can check that out. And if you have Fubo, it's on Fubo as well. All right. So how can the people find you, Courtney?
They can always find me here on WWT Live every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Tomorrow, I will be doing a special watch-along of Grand Slam Australia, so you do not want to miss it. It's going to be very, very fun, and watch me on the reaction and the play-by-play. You can also follow me on Twitter and Instagram on @CourtneyNJ11 with all the content. You can also make sure to follow both Bell to Bell and ISPW Wrestling, as I am going to be doing a lot of stuff with them in the coming months. And I forgot to mention this last week that I did an Instagram live video with one of my fellow pageant queens who's also a wrestling fan like me. So we did a live Q&A where we talked about how we got into pageantry, how we're wrestling fans, and just a really fun interview all around. So make sure to tune into that.
Super, super. Mayor.
You can find me on Twitter @SaidSays, on the gram @SaidsTheAnswer. Maybe we can do a NXT watch along or a post show. I'll wake up my tag team partner for that. Check out some of his work. I know he just dropped a Anscape Valentine's Day sneaker cop article @_JDella. He has it posted there. Of course, follow all of our lovely creators here. I believe the Kayfabe podcast will be tomorrow. We have a bunch of watch-alongs. I don't believe there will be a watch-along tonight, so we'll be back for the Monday Nightmare on Monday. And I will add that if Harley Cameron defeats Mercedes Moné, then Maxine Dupri will powerbomb Nia Jax this year.
Hilarious, hilarious. You guys, of course, can find me at Bonnerfied. Lots of great things are happening. Ashe Wrestling TV every Thursday night on the Ashe Wrestling YouTube channel. We've got some great things happening for All Caribbean Wrestling. We are exactly, wow, I can't believe I'm saying this. 2 weeks from tomorrow, the premiere of Saturday Night Vibe for All Caribbean Wrestling on Tempo Networks. And then you can also check that out on the mobile app for All Caribbean Wrestling, which is available for Apple, Android, and Roku. So you can download that app right now. You can subscribe there and check out the entire catalog of All Caribbean Wrestling. And you can watch pay-per-views as they happen live. We've got a big one coming up on March the 16th as All Caribbean Wrestling is headed to Santo Domingo, Dominican Republic. It's going to be a lot of fun for all the cool things that are happening there. Again, all cool things happening at Women's Wrestling Talk. WW Talk Pod is where you can find us on the socials and the website, www.talkpod.com. Shout out to all of you who are joining us. I know it's time to check out SmackDown, so we're going to let you go for that. But we appreciate you guys rocking with us. Thank you all for hanging out with us. And stick around. Of course, we've got post shows, we've got watch alongs, we've got all of the things as part of Women's Wrestling Talk, the number one women's wrestling network on the planet.
Thanks for joining WWT. Don't forget to like us on all social media platforms at WW Talk Pod. Like and subscribe on all video and audio platforms like yesterday, my G. And check out our website at www.talkpod.com. Thanks for watching Women's Wrestling Talk, the number one women's wrestling network on the planet.